Open your Bibles here this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 here this morning. Taking a little break from our Proverbs series here this morning. Reason being is our nation is going to vote here this coming week on Tuesday. And I want to have a message that kind of dealt more along those lines. Top of my message here this morning is a nation in need of prayer, a nation in need of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says these words, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness in honesty. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are Lord God Almighty. And Father, I thank you for our nation that you have raised up out of the wilderness here. I thank you for our forefathers who did not come to America looking for gold and silver, but they came looking for a land to worship God after the dictates of their own heart. And Father, our country, we're going to prayer here today for our nation and our people as we come to vote here on Tuesday, Lord. And I pray for mercy and grace in your sight for our nation, God. Father, our nation stands in need of prayer. And Father, I just pray that you bless this word here this morning to our hearts and minds. And Father, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, the Lord Jesus, that honors your holy name, that will bless your people and encourage and strengthen them, God. And Father, it's only through your Spirit, one sows and another waters, but Lord, you give the increase. And I pray for the increase in the hearts and lives of people gathered here today. So Lord, bless us as your people. And Father, I thank you for being faithful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I recently had a birthday here. I'm 61 years old. That sounds like a lot, but it really isn't if you look across the pages of history. And in my 61 years, I've seen America change a lot. A lot. And it hasn't all been for the good. I can remember growing up where I grew up in Virginia. We never locked our doors at night. Can you imagine that? That's where the neighborhood I grew up in, you just never thought about somebody breaking into your house. I didn't even know where the house key was. You just didn't have that fear of your neighbor or somebody breaking into your house. I can remember growing up in school, in elementary school, and saying the Pledge of Allegiance, and my second and third grade teacher, they were Christians, and I remember my third grade teacher talking about the sermons her pastor would preach on Sunday. And I remember still some of the things she shared. They resonate with me today. You know, I look at this elementary school across the street, and they used to have a Bible verse in there, a book out of Proverbs. I can't remember which one it was, but it used to be right in the school there when you came in, a verse out of Proverbs. I just remember seeing it there. And they redid the school, and guess where that verse went? It's gone. It's not there anymore. But guess what you will find? Earth Day and, you know, all these climate little things all around the school. But no mention of God. Our nation's changed. But I don't think it's for the better. Now, with that being said, where does that leave us at as God's people? There's 40 million Americans that live in California. The governor there says that churches are very restrictive on in-person meetings. John MacArthur right now, his church has been accused of being a super spreader of the coronavirus. They have 7,000 people that congregate there at his church. And he said, to his knowledge, only 3 have had the coronavirus, and they were very mild symptoms. But his church is being labeled as a super spreader. They can't hold in-person services. He's being threatened with jail time if he continues to hold services. He's being threatened with financial fines against his church if they continue to hold in-person services. I couldn't imagine that. If you told me that a year ago or 2 years ago, I would say, that'll never happen in America. But it is. It is. You know, God's people being told, but if, you know, if I want to go to a casino, pack them in there. That's okay. If I want to sell alcohol and liquor, many of you want to pack in the store. That's okay. But if you want to worship God, oh, you're a super spreader. You can't do that. Is America standing in need of prayer? Is America standing in need of prayer? I was thinking about this morning. Faye, would you come to the piano for a minute? This is totally unscripted, okay? She knew nothing of this. I like to sing just the first two verses of My Country 'Tis of Thee, and then I have something I want to share. And you probably know it by heart. If you need it, it's 698 in your hymn book. My Country 'Tis of Thee. I want us to sing this, and I want you to think about the words when we sing this. Because our forefathers, when they came over here, when they left England as separatists and Puritans, they wanted the land. You know what the Church of England did? You could not worship God after the dictates of your heart. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, you couldn't use the word church in your name. That's why he called it the Metropolitan Tabernacle. He wasn't allowed to put church in front of his church because he wasn't of the approved church. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the prince of preachers. He couldn't even, in England, he couldn't even call his church a church. You know, our forefathers came because they wanted to worship God freely. And that's what we have in America. But I think sometimes as God's people, we take our freedoms for granted. And we don't appreciate the roots that we came from. But just listen to these words and sing along here. 698, My Country 'Tis of Thee. Faye, if you'd start for us. Anybody here love America? Did you love America? I do. This is my homeland. This is my country. And you know, there's forces out there that want to take it away from us. There's forces out there that want to bring us down as a nation, to take away what we have. All that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do what? Nothing. You know, we got an election coming up. There's a couple of things you can do. One is vote. If you don't vote, shame on you. That's all I got to say. Shame on you if you don't vote. Because what you've done, your right to, as a Christian, to say, this is who I have a choice to pick, and I'm going to pick the best of what I can pick. You have an option to exercise your vote. If you don't vote, you're laying down your right to be a voice in our country. The second thing we can do as God's people, what did our scripture say here this morning in verse 2 of chapter 2? For kings and for all that are what? In authority. Do elections have consequences? They do. They have huge consequences. We need to pray. You know, we talk about no prayer in schools. I understand that. But you know what's worse than that? Is no prayer in the churches. God says, my house should be called a house of what? A prayer. Do you believe that? Do you believe prayer changes things? I believe prayer changes things. We need God's people to pray. Because if we don't pray as God's people, who's going to pray for our nation? Somebody once said it like this, I'm not everybody, but I am somebody. I can't do everything, but what I can do, I ought to do with God being my helper. Can you make a difference? I believe so. We need to pray as God's people for our nation. I'd like to share a verse here in Ezekiel, just a little verse. I ran across this, and I'd like to share it in this context. Ezekiel chapter 9. What do people know about the book of Ezekiel? It's the wheel in the wheel book, okay? If you're wondering what Ezekiel is, okay? That's the book. You probably haven't been there in a long time. Ezekiel chapter 9. I want to read verse 9, make a comment, but then I want to go to the verse I wanted to go to. Ezekiel 9, verse 9. Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. The land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the earth, the Lord seeth not. Now, what can we learn from that verse? One, as God looks at the land of Israel at that time, he said, Ezekiel, this city is full of blood. They've killed innocent people everywhere. Bloodshed everywhere. It's full of perverseness. What is should be right, wrong is there. It's perverted. It's not walking the straight and narrow way. It's full of perverseness. That was the city of Jerusalem, the iniquity of the house of Israel. Full of blood, full of perverseness. Now, back up a little bit. I want you to go to verse 4, and there's a little phrase there I want you to pick up. Now, this is the Lord, this is a vision of the slaughter of the guilty in chapter 9. The angels are there, Ezekiel's observing this, he's watching this, but in verse 4, the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city. And this is what the angel was to do, the one that had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the forehead of the men. Now, this is what I found interesting. That sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. Okay, this is a city. It's perverted. It's full of blood. But there are some people in that city that cry and they sigh for all the abominations that are done. And God said, you mark those people. Now, I have a question for you today. Do you sigh and do you cry for the abominations that are done in the land of America? Do you sigh and do you cry over them? Give me some abominations. Just call them out. Give me an abomination in America. Abortion. Homosexuality. Abortion is innocent blood. That's innocent blood. God says that's an abomination to me. The safest place should be in a mother's womb, but we've made it a battlefield. Little children ripped apart. Does that make you sigh? Does that make you cry? It ought to. And if you do, guess what? I'm going to tell you something. When you sigh, when you cry, when you hear one more thing, and you go, oh, God, God took notice of that. Before the angel was to go through and punish all the guilty, God said, you mark my people that sigh and they cry over the abominations they see. It ought to affect us. Because if it doesn't, your heart is cold as a rock. And if it doesn't bother you about iniquity, I wonder if you even know God. Because if it doesn't bother you, there's something deep down wrong with you if you don't see the sin and the iniquity. When people call good evil and evil good, and that doesn't make you sigh and that doesn't make you cry, there's something spiritually inside of you that's not right in the sight of God. You know, God says, go mark those people. Verse 4, set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. You know, God's people ought to be the ones saying, that's not right, that's not right, that's not right. Okay, abortion, homosexuality. And yet, what's some more abominations in our land?
Witchcraft.
Witchcraft. It's on the rise. Murder. Our streets are filled with murder. Chicago, hardly a weekend goes by, there isn't 40 or 50 people slain in the streets of Chicago every weekend. Murder just rampant. How about divorce? Is that a plague on our land? It is a plague on our land.
Adultery.
Riots.
Morality.
Morality.
Adultery.
Those are no respect for those in authority. That is so true. It's an abomination in God's sight. We've lost civility in our land. There's no respect for police. They're the ones that keep law and what? Order. If you do away with the police, guess what you have?
Chaos.
Does that make you sigh? Does that make you cry out? It does me. It does me. But where are God's people? Are we praying? Are our churches filled on prayer night, prayer meeting night? Are they filled with people crying out to God for our nation? Where are the men that, in 2 Timothy here, what does it say here in 1 Timothy chapter 2? I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is what? Good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, here's the situation. Who will have all men to be what? Do we have too many pagans in our nation? There's too many pagan people. That's the problem. They don't know God. They don't think like God. They don't care about God. God's not in their thoughts at all. They suppress the knowledge of God. They don't want God to be known. The minute you bring God into the conversation, that creates a level of guilt, accountability, a standard. Just push him aside. The Bible says God is not mocked. You're not going to make fun of God and get away with it. God's not mocked. You think God's going to say, like, oh my, what am I going to do? He can do a lot. You know what I'm saying? He can do a lot. Does it make you sigh? Does it make you cry? God says, my house should be called a house of what? Prayer. It's a little unusual sermon here this morning. It's because we got the election coming up. You know what I'd like to do right now? Would there be some men and women that will just pray right now for our nation? Just pray short prayers? God says, my house should be a house of prayer. Why don't we make it a house of prayer here this morning? Why don't we pray for our nation? We got an election coming up. James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. You have not because you what? You ask not. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and what? Not to faint. Lose heart. That's right. Dan, would you start us in prayer? And Bob, would you finish us in prayer? And in between, whoever wants to pray, when somebody finishes, you just pray. Because guess what? Tuesday, we're going to elect a president. Somebody's going to be president. Can there be chaos? What does God say here? He wants men to pray everywhere that we may live what kind of life? A quiet and what? Peaceful life. Do you want chaos in America? I don't want it. I don't want streets burning and people's businesses being destroyed. I don't want the election to be stolen and ballots to be stuffed and all that confusion that happens. I guarantee you this, if things go down the wrong way and God's people will start praying when things get really bad, I'd rather pray on the front side than pray on the back side. Do you know what I'm saying? I'd rather not start praying when things get really bad. Why don't we pray before and maybe we can lead a peaceful life? Does that make sense? Let's pray here as God's people. And you pray in your heart, God, would you have me pray for my nation? Just be a short prayer, but pray out loud so people can hear you. Stand up and pray if you can. If you can't, just sit. That's fine. But Dan, if you'll get us started, let's pray for our nation. We've got an election coming up here.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. Lord, with hearts that are heavy in the way things are going in our nation, Lord. Lord, we have two different political parties here, Lord. Two different political platforms, Lord. And they're sometimes polar opposites, Lord. I pray that you give us wisdom as Christians. Help us to do what's right, Lord. Help us to care about all those innocent babies that are shed, Lord. Lord, for sake of convenience, Lord, as we look the other way and pretend it doesn't happen, Lord. Lord, give us wisdom and guidance. Our nation needs you. We were founded on principles that have guided us through the years, and those principles are being put aside. Ten Commandments are being taken down. God's being pushed out of every arena. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us as Christians to reach out, to do our part, Lord. Lord, oftentimes we don't deserve it at the sin that's so rampant, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us wisdom, discernment, and guidance. Help us to do your will. We thank you for the blessings that you have blessed upon our nation in the past. And Lord, may your will be done on Tuesday, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the freedom we still have in this country to go and vote. And Lord, I pray for every Christian that they go and vote, but that they pray by the power of the Holy Spirit to direct their hands. All right, over in the name of Jesus, we praise and thank you.
Lord, I pray that Republicans and Democrats will quit fighting and lying. And Lord, I just pray that the ones that hated Trump so much that they gave him misery for 4 years. Lord, I just pray that they work together in peace and quit lying and quit being nasty and mean. And I pray that they'll give their lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I pray for our president. We thank you for the man that you have given to us. And we pray that in this coming election, you will put into office the right man once again. We just pray for our president to lead in righteousness and in truth, that you will guide and protect him. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I pray that your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and pray that we would confess our sins and that we would seek your face and that you would be our God again.
We pray for the men and women that are in charge of our country, Lord. We ask that they would learn to get along, that they would show our children as they're growing up, that if they get together and they can talk things out and be peaceful among each other, that things would go much better. And we're so thankful that we have a God that already knows what the answer is going to be in Tuesday's election. So we thank you for all you do for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we pray for revival in our nation. Lord, we pray for revival among believers, that you would give them a heart for you, that they would have the fear of God instead of the fear of man. Lord, that you would just pour out your spirit in these last days, and that you would fill us with that spirit and give us a hunger and a thirst for you and for your word, Father. That you would take the fear of man away from us, Father. That we would speak your word boldly, speaking the truth with great grace and love. Lord, we especially pray for our young people that are so lost, Lord. They don't know which end is up. And we just pray that you would draw them, and that they would be a mighty force across our nation to draw all people forward to you. For you wish that every man would be saved, Father. We just pray for this election, and we pray for your perfect and divine will to be done, Lord. For you are on the throne. You are a sovereign God, and nothing escapes your notice. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you.
Most kind and heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, may our country realize the need of prayer and the need of prayer for each one of us. Again, open our hearts and help us to realize what is taking place and what's going to happen through this election. We just pray for your guidance, pray for your love and answers to our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the country, for you, O God. O dear God, we pray for the blessing. Bless us. Your eyes open and you see. You hear our prayers, O God. Bless us. Bless us with good leaders who know you, O God. Give you the glory. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've set aside here, Lord, to think of our nation and what's at stake. And Lord, we know you're in control of all things. And Lord, we also know that you want us to do our part. I thank you that we have folks here that care enough to pray for our leadership, Lord, that we pray every Wednesday, we have them in our bulletin, Lord. Pray for wisdom and direction, salvation. Pray, God, for this election, Lord, that it's one of the toughest things we've ever been through. And Lord, I believe that we're at a point in our nation where we're going to choose good, or we're going to choose evil. We're going to choose righteousness, or we're going to choose godlessness, Lord. Not to say that our leaders are perfect. Lord, they're not. They all need you. They need your guidance and your wisdom. Lord, but I thank you for the leadership we have now that is pro-life and pro-church. Lord, they're standing up for our Constitution. Lord, what our founding fathers put so much pain and effort into, Lord, to make sure that our nation could stand for you and the following generations. Lord, we've lived for hundreds of years on this nation, Lord, following those guidelines which men of old have laid aside. Now they want new thinking and the way of the world, Lord, to put such a useless value on life and liberty and religion. Lord God, as your people cry out, Lord, I pray that there be a cry across the land to spare us once again. Lord, I pray that the people who are called by your name would have a revival. Lord, of the crushing defeat for the devil and his crowd. God, we love you here at this church. We want to do what's right, serve you, and see the gospel go forth. We thank you that the doors are open, that we can hear the word of God and pray and expect blessings from heaven. Just direct on Tuesday. Help us to be in prayer each and every day until then. Lord, thank you for all you do in Christ's name.
Father, I'd like to finish out my country tis of thee, the last two verses here to close out our prayer time. Yeah. Join me on verse 3 and 4 of my country tis of thee as we close our prayer time for our nation. Portion of 1 Timothy we looked at, and verse 4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. You know, as believers, we need to help people get saved, and once they're saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's our mandate as believers. It's what God wants each of us to do. And as you look around your neighborhood, as you look around your workplace, as you look around your family, what can you be doing that all men can be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? Earlier this week, we had some workmen here that were working on our new bathroom project. There was three of them from this one company, and I had three gospel tracts I got off that table, and when they were in between working, one guy was working, the other two were waiting to get his part done, and I just shared the gospel with them. Gave them a track, talking about their salvation, where they grew up at church at, where they're at spiritually. Gave them a challenge. You know, we all can do that. Where we're at, let your light so shine before what? Men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You know, God wants our light to be shining. Our country's a mess because there's not that many true believers. But the true believers need to be true believers. And a true believer, you know what they're going to do? They're going to call sin, sin. Okay? You're not going to mince words or back up or retreat. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Period. And if you have a problem calling sin, sin, you've got bigger problems than that. Because I just wonder how you relate it to God. Because the cross all dealt with the sins of the world. And Jesus Christ dying for us. So my challenge, verse 4, will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Let's live that out this week as God's people. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've had here this morning as your people. And Father, thank you that we can pray to a God. And Lord, we don't have answers. These problems in our nation are so deep and so big. But Lord, you have the answer, for you're Almighty God. There's nothing too hard for thee, Lord. And Father, as our nation grew up out of the wilderness, God, and you see where we are today, Lord, may repentance be found in our land. May revival be found in our land. May renewal be found in our land. May restitution be found in our land, God. May we make things right with one another and with you, God. Father, help us toward this end, that our nation would turn back to thee, O God, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.